Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have once again as our co-host, Diane Helfrich. How are you, Diane?
I'm good. How are you, Matthew?
Doing great. It's good to see you. I want to mention before we get going that December is our giving season, as it is for many things. And as a nonprofit, we depend on your support. So we'll be mentioning that a little bit later, but we just want to put it on your heart now that you prayerfully think about supporting NCHE financially this year. So, Diane, how about you tell us what we have on the show today?
Okay, we have a number of things in homeschool news. First of all, we've got a couple of reminders about some really good field trips that are coming up. We're also going to talk about homeschool regulations and voucher programs, and we'll continue to talk a little bit about the Washington Post article that we introduced last week. In Homeschool Conversations, Matthew's going to talk with Brian Ray about how a Christian should view government involvement and funding in our homeschools. And then in Homeschool Helps with Amanda, she's going to talk about the Department of Non-Public Education, DNPE, and just what they do. So in homeschool news, let me just give you a couple reminders about the Swan Lake Ballet in Charlotte. We have a limited number of tickets for that. It's May 9th, 2024. You've got to order your tickets by December 29th to get the $14.50 price. And if there's any left after that, they'll be $17.75. And then a reminder about our Midwinter Day of Play chess tournament for kids in Kernersville on January 20th, 2024. If you want information or you want to register for either of these events, just go onto the website at nche.com/fieldtrips, and you'll be able to get everything you need there.
All right, that's great. So we discussed last week the Washington Post article and talked about the amazing explosion of growth in home education. And so we're going to go visit that one more time because there's another interesting topic we want to address here. The article is called Homeschooling's Rise from Fringe to Fastest Growing Form of Education. So here are some more clips. I just want to pull out a few comments here and there from the article for us to discuss. Here's one. Celebrated by home education advocates, the rise has also led critics of weak regulation to sound alarms. Homeschooled kids don't have to submit any form of testing for academic progress in most states. And even states that require assessments often offer loopholes, according to the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, which urges greater oversight. Many of America's new homeschool children have entered a world where no government official will ever check on what or how well they are being taught. So let's just stop right there and make a couple of observations. We know that here in North Carolina, we have an annual nationally standardized test that's required. Interestingly, though, we don't actually have to turn that in, and it isn't something that's approved or seen by the DNPE. Therefore, although it's something that we have to do, it's not really doesn't qualify as oversight. So we're really a relatively free state when it comes to homeschooling and oversight, which is great. And we are glad for that. I think the most important thing to notice here is that because of the expansion and because of groups like the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, man, that sounds like a great title, doesn't it?
Yeah, one we should all embrace, right?
And we should be for responsible home education. But what's interesting is there's an ideological assumption with this specific group that the government is primarily responsible for making sure that education is going well. And what's really interesting about that, we're going to talk to Brian Ray about that this week and then more in a couple of weeks. It's a question for all of us. And we can also ask as Christians, who is responsible for education? And of course, we believe that the parents are primarily responsible. That doesn't mean that they don't share that responsibility with others, right? But it does mean that it's primarily the parent and not the government. So we are actually really concerned, aren't we, Diane, about the idea that the government wants and other groups want more regulation and oversight over home education.
Right. And, you know, ever since NCHE began, it's been kind of a fight to have the autonomy for homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And let me just go back over some examples. We've got several examples here of places where NCHE really had an effect on the freedoms that you enjoy today. The first one that I want to highlight was in 1987, which was soon after homeschooling was made legal in North Carolina. Bills were filed in the North Carolina General Assembly that required homeschool teachers to have a four-year diploma, imposed state-mandated curriculum, and required local public school superintendent permission each semester. NCHE proposed a different bill that became law instead. Aren't you glad?
That's right. And then in 2005, Governor Mike Easley proposed moving DNPE to be under the Department of Public Instruction, therefore opening the way for public school administrators to monitor and regulate North Carolina homeschools. Immediately, NCHE organized a massive lobbying effort that shut down the switchboards and email servers in Raleigh. The next day, the governor's office announced that they had changed their mind and that DNPE would remain in the DOA.
I remember when that happened, and it was really profound, and they did shut it down, and it was almost into they were talking about the railroad tracks, the trains coming from the homeschool group. It was pretty amazing. Huh. So another one that happened in 2013, and I remember this one as well, within a year of the passage of the NCHE homeschool bill, the North Carolina Attorney General issued an on-record position that the homeschool teachers had to provide all core curriculum instruction, language arts, mathematics, science, and social studies. NCHE proposed a definition of homeschooling that clearly allowed homeschool families to include instruction from outside the family as well as their own instruction. So all of the co-ops and things that were going on were not going to be legal unless NCHE stepped in.
Right. So then in 2020, in a NC House committee meeting, an NCHE spokesperson testified against a bill that would have required all homeschools to either update their record or file a new notice of intent to a homeschool every year. Right now, of course, we only had to do it at the beginning of opening your school. If they failed to do so, their school would be closed. The same bill would have identified military families, potentially putting them at risk. The bill was defeated in a committee vote by one vote.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing and an important segment. So, and then this last year, one that is very near and dear to my heart because this has been a real problem ever since COVID. In 2023, this year, NCHE authored the Senate Bill 411 that would require public high schools to allow homeschool students to sit for the PSAT and AP exams. The bill passed the Senate unanimously. The House added the language of the bill to the budget bill, and this bill was passed in September. And so schools can no longer tell you that you cannot take those exams.
And so obviously the reason we did this is we want to highlight a couple of things. We want you to understand the history, the historical context of homeschooling in North Carolina. But we also want to highlight the very important work that NCHE has done over the last 40 years to make sure that this is one of the best states in the nation to homeschool. And we know that's important to you. And so this is why we want to highlight it right now, especially in December when we're doing our end of the year giving season. And so if that is important to you, and I believe it is, then one of the ways that you can help make sure that we can maintain our strong position and our legislative influence is to support NCHE. We spend a lot of time reading bills and lobbying and connecting with people and taking action when that's necessary. But it's your support that gives us the ability to do that. So if that's important to you, please consider going to nche.com/give, and that's where you can make end of the year one-time donation, or sign up for a regular donation throughout the year.
Yeah, and I just like to highlight that when these things come up, when these bills come up, it takes multiple days of multiple people lobbying in Raleigh. It takes a lot of work with people to get the wording right on these bills and stuff. So this is a non-trivial effort.
Now, I want to jump back to this Washington Post article because it brings up another important issue about legislation and homeschooling. So it says, some of homeschooling's immediate costs to society will soon be more directly measurable in Florida. Earlier this year, Governor Ron DeSantis, following the lead of policymakers in other conservative states, expanded the state's educational voucher program. Children who learn at home are now eligible if their parents submit instructional plans and they take an annual standardized test. So not only in Florida, but Arizona, a lot of other places, this kind of legislation is taking place. And I want to let you know right now, this is a hot topic. And this is a difficult topic. It would be easy for us to assume that since, oh, these are conservative states, this is Governor DeSantis, this is something that's good. But we want to let you know that there's actually some reasons to be concerned about these kinds of programs, which is why this is a perfect setup to talk about the conversation that I had with Brian Ray, because he's put a lot of thought into it. So we've already listened to a few segments of my conversation with him that I had at a recent conference. And so this is another portion of it. And the big question here is, how should Christians think about the role of government and government funding in home education? And there's a lot of disagreement, even among Christians and conservatives, and on this topic. And so this was a really good conversation. I do want to point out that going into this conversation, there was another topic that he addressed, and that is the question is, what does the Bible say about education at all? Who's responsible for education? And we're going to take that segment and show it later. But that was a foundational point for Brian in thinking about, how do we think about taxes? How do we think about government funding? And we want to encourage you, just like Brian does, Dr. Ray, in this interview, to study the scripture for yourself. However, this is going to give you some food for thought. So let's check out this conversation. And how does a Christian, from a biblical perspective, think about, you know, the tax money question, especially because it seems in within the Christian circles, there's varying views on
that. Yeah. Okay, so you framed it this way. How should a Christian think? So yeah. That's how we're going to talk now.
Yep.
And that's the key to anything. Like, if you had said to me, how should a socialist think? I'd have one answer.
You
right?
could answer that.
How should a Muslim think? I'm not sure I could answer that. How should a statist think? How should a neo-Marxist think? You know, each way you frame that question, there's going to be a different answer.
Yeah.
Because, as I said earlier, every one of us, whether a judge in a court, a professor, a lobbyist, a homeschool leader, has a worldview. So how should a Christian think? They got to go to the Bible. You know, every Christian must be a scripturalist. And some people think it's a quick and easy answer. And you know, you could say, well, the Bible says, but I'll start by saying, if you want to think, and you should want to think, if you're a Christian, you have to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, you know, you said, how should we think about this? How should we think about killing a baby in the womb? How should we think about telling a person it's okay for you to ask your doctor, even though you're still healthy, to give you a drug to put you to death? You know, any issue, we call that assisted suicide. Any issue, you have to go to the scripture. And you really should start with the Old Testament and the New Testament. You look at the New Testament, and it's consistent with the Old Testament. The job, the duty, not the right of the government, the duty of the civil government is to punish the evildoer and commend the doer of good. not pay the doer of good, commend the doer of good, right? Commend. It's pretty limited. And by the way, when I say limited, it should ring a bell for those who kind of like America.
Yeah.
Limited government. Like, where did we get that idea? Like, the government's supposed to do only the things God gave it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is supposed to do all the other stuff. Okay, so
another jurisdiction question.
Another jurisdiction.
What are the lines and responsibilities?
Yeah,
we have parents.
Exactly.
What is the government
We've
supposed to do?
We've got civil government over here. It's supposed to punish the evildoer.
Family? A lot of stuff. Like, teach your children. Dad and mom provide for them food, shelter, clothing. Educate them. That's all the duties and commands and responsibility of the family. Raise enough money, dad and mom together, to get that food. Raise enough money to get those medications. And people say, no. And I can just hear people saying, yeah, but what if you can't do it on your own? You have friends. You have family. If you're a Christian, you have a church. You have all that. You have all that. On top of it, here at church, we have charities.
Privately funded. It's all privately funded. So then that's the jurisdiction of the family to do what they're supposed to do in food, shelter, clothing, education, spiritual discipleship with anybody they want to work with voluntarily and privately. And then we've left out, but then you've got the jurisdiction of the church and so forth and so on. But we won't go there right now. That's most people kind of know what that is. So then when you enter into this equation, you say in any given country, whether it's France or Australia or Kenya or United States, the government starts doing other things like, well, you know, we got to provide roads and we need to do infrastructure. So people get kind of worked up over this topic and some people will say, yeah, but Brian, we already have all this tax money out there. I might as well get some of mine. Well, number one, the system is wrong. And I want to encourage people to fight against things that are not biblical. Number one, if they have time and energy for it. Number two, I certainly do not want to encourage you to participate in a system that's anti-biblical, anti-jurisdiction of God. Number three, on a practical note, if you're a homeschool family and you've got 2, 3, 5, 10 children and you've been homeschooling for a couple years, that money does not exist out there because the money that the government has already taken from all the neighbors is for the number of students that have been in and are projected for next year to be in. So there are a lot of reasons, but the main reason to not be enticed by this, the main reason for an organization to work against and educate against these things is that they are an expansion of the ways of or the form of taxation that is not biblical for a job that is not the government's job. So we want to always reduce that, not make it more complicated and not expand it for biblical reasons.
And although that is the foundational issue of conviction,
yeah,
that a believer you would suggest would have from the scripture,
right,
it is also a legitimate concern that if we start to receive money from the government for home education, that then they will also have expectations, regulations.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. McDill, well, there are so many things. It would be fun to talk for an hour, but just to toss out a few. We get so stuck in our moment in history. You know, you're your age, I'm my age. We think this is the whole world right here. But we, people older than we are, people that younger than we are, have to remember there's a history. And I'll just give one example. Dr. Charles Glenn is an international expert on studying in other nations. What happens when the government gets involved in private entities, like nonprofits? Other countries call them NGOs, non-government organizations. And the tax dollars, the government takes tax dollars from here, and then they put it into the private thing like a private school or a private nonprofit or a mission. This is creepy. The name of his book is The Ambiguous Embrace.
And what he found over all these years of study, at first, these nonprofits or these private groups, they have their mission, they have their zeal, they have their enthusiasm, but slowly but surely, the government involvement, the tax dollars, the little nibbles, he calls them, and duck bites, reduce the zeal for that mission and increase the government's control over the lives of all these people. And it goes downhill.
Partially, or mostly because of the dependence that's created.
Absolutely.
Because that private school needs the funds. They become dependent on it year after year after year. And then at some point, the government may say, well, now you have to.
Yeah.
If you want our money,
right,
you have to do this.
Yeah,
but they can't shut their school down.
And I'm sad when people embrace that ambiguous embrace. And so I want people to stay firm on their God-given duties and responsibilities and their zeal and working together, richly together in relationship. And as Jim Mason, HSLDA, called it, civic virtue, raising civic virtue. That's what I dream of for the homeschool community, to continue that way.
Welcome to Homeschool Help with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NTHE. So today and next time, we are going to talk about some important homeschool organizations and some acronyms that seem to get confusing for a lot of people, especially when you're just getting started with homeschooling. It is so easy to get kind of lost in this alphabet soup of so many abbreviations and acronyms. So today we are going to talk about DNPE. What in the world? What is DNPE? Well, in North Carolina, we are unique in that we are not, as homeschoolers, as homeschool families, we are not governed under the Division of Public Instruction at all. We are under a whole separate part of the government, which is called the Division of Non-Public Education, or DNPE. What does the DNPE do? So they are listed, this organization is listed under the Department of Administration in the North Carolina government. There is a head of the DNPE, and then there are several different educational consultants, administrative assistants, different things like that. There's 5 or 6 employees in the whole entire division. So this Division of Non-Public Education is the regulatory body over all the private schools in North Carolina and all of the registered homeschools. So when you are ready to open your homeschool, you're ready to declare your notice of intent to homeschool, you have to go through the Division of Non-Public Education, or DNPE. If you have already filed your notice of intent, then you have had some experience with the DNPE. You have been on that website, you have filed your notice of intent. That is also a place where you can go to update your information every year to make sure that the DNPE has accurate numbers of students that are enrolled, that they have accurate information that your homeschool is indeed operating and open in the state of North Carolina, that you have not moved, you have not closed your school. When it's time to close your homeschool, you go to the DNPE website and close your homeschool. Basically, the DNPE is the body, the arm of the government that regulates homeschools. They are over us as homeschools in North Carolina. They interpret the homeschool law as it relates to us and private schools as well. So why am I telling you this? Because there is a lot of confusion over what is the DNPE? What in the world do those letters stand for? What do they do? Do we have to have interaction with them? So quickly, I've already told you what they are. I've already told you some of what they do. As far as the law goes, once you have opened, you filed your notice of intent to homeschool and you've opened your homeschool, legally speaking, until one, you need a driver education certificate, or two, you need to update your address. You have moved within the state of North Carolina. That's another time you need to have, you have to have interaction with the DMPE legally, or when it's time, either you've moved out of the state or you are done homeschooling and you need to close your homeschool. Those are the three times legally that you have to have interaction with the Division of Non-Public Education. They also legally can come and audit your homeschool. They can, it says in the law, if a representative from the Division of Non-Public Education wants to come to your homeschool and check your records, they do legally have the right to do that. Now, do they do that? No, not really, not anymore. There's over 100,000 registered homeschools in the state of North Carolina, plus all the private schools. So the reality of them physically showing up at your address, no, it's just not going to happen. However, you will get communication from the Division of Non-Public Education, email or a letter, depending on how they're trying to get information from you. They're trying to figure out if you're still homeschooling. They're trying to figure out if your records are currently accurate. You may get an email from them or a letter in the mail from them. Overall, what I want to encourage you with is the Division of Non-Public Education really is friendly to us as homeschoolers. They are not out to get us. They are not out to clamp down on us at all. They are trying to do a job. They're trying to preserve the freedoms and the way that we have our homeschool law set up and private school law set up. They want to keep that. They want to keep their jobs. So they're not trying to change anything or regulate us more. That is not what the DNPE is there for. So if you get communication from them, no big deal. It's not a scary thing. It doesn't need to be. But I would encourage you to keep your records updated. That's really important. I would encourage you, and legally you have to, if you've moved, update your address. If you're no longer homeschooling, close your homeschool. It's really okay. So that's all I have to say about that. Hopefully I have cleared up any confusion about the Division of Non-Public Education here in North Carolina. I really hope that helps today.
All right. We're so grateful that you joined us this week. As usual, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. And we'd also love for you to share this show with your friends and family, anyone else that you think would be a blessing. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.